lighthouse on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see. And the light that shines in darkness night will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, my ship would be no more. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin, I'd clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be? Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down, that the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use of it standing around. But then my mind goes back to that stormy night when just in time I saw that light, the light from that old lighthouse that stands there on a hill. And I think
wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. And, you know, as a Christian, do you ever think back about the day that you got saved? I'm telling you, I tell you one thing, I went nuts. You say, why? You just got saved. Well, you got to understand, I was raised in a denomination that taught that you could never know that you were ever saved. When I found out the Bible teaches that everlasting life means everlasting life, I went crazy. I had a fit, man. I came out of that baptistry right there. And by the way, you don't have to get baptized to be saved either. But I just wanted to let you know, but I came out of that baptistry. And, you know, but most people say, man, I feel like 1,000 pounds were lifted off my, not me. I felt like 1,000,000,000 pounds were lifted off my shoulders. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like knowing the Lord. And you know, folks, there's salvation that's taught by man, and then there's salvation taught by God. You got to be able to discern the difference between the two. And the salvation taught by God is everlasting. That means whenever you get it, it lasts forever. It never ends. And that's the reason you say, why'd you go crazy? Why'd you go nuts? You say, you still act a little bit nuts. Well, I hadn't got over it yet. And I pray that I never get over being saved. But I went crazy because, you know, the thing about it is you find people that don't know they're saved, they're not going to serve God effectively. If they're questioning, always questioning whether they're saved or not, they will never serve God effectively and be productive. But boy, if you got that thing settled and you're secure in Jesus and you know it's settled, man, you can serve God with joy and happiness and excitement. And you can actually come to church and be happy and realize, you know what, I'm saved coming in, I'm saved going out. And don't have to be concerned about, listen, it's God holding my salvation, not me holding it. And I promise you, that it's secure. Take your Bible, Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. I just love being saved, love being around the house of God, love being in church, don't you? I love being around the people of God. And thank you for being here. It's an honor to be standing here before you this morning to teach and preach the Word of God. Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse number 13 and read down through verse 21. I want to preach to you, church, this morning on this subject, a conflict of interests. A conflict of interest. Would you stand with me this morning? Luke chapter 12, verse number 13. If you'll begin reading with me silently as I read aloud. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And by the way, he's about to give them an illustration. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, and I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. You might notice a problem here. We've got a huge conflict here, don't we? Verse 19. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast... You ever heard people talk to themselves? This guy's talking to himself. Now the thing about it is, what bothers me is when we start answering ourselves. Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But this is where it all changes right here, folks. But God. Here's the conflict right here. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You go back and look at our verses today, I think that you can see, and I'm going to point out three conflicts of interest that exist in these passages this morning that I think we can all relate to. So let's bow our heads and pray and ask God to bless the time in preaching this morning. Father, we come to you now in Jesus' name and through the shed blood of Christ, asking you to bind the strong man, the enemy, the adversary off of this service. That, Father, that our spirits have been opened now. And now I pray that as this preaching and the seed of the Word of God goes forth, that it would go forth with power. And that, Father, that it might fall on fertile ground and take root in the hearts of our lives. And that, Father, that we might be able to digest and assimilate the truth this morning to be the best that we possibly can in the service of Christ. And we'll ask you now to teach us, Holy Spirit, as you promised, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You can be seated. You know, it doesn't take long in life to realize that you're going to face conflict of interests with someone. You know, conflict, that's opposition. That's to be an opposition or contradictory, or, you ever had this happen, a collision of personal values? That's what conflict is. Interests are concerns. Those are like personal passions. And not everybody is going to agree with how you see things or how you go about resolving things or promoting things. For instance, we're in heading down toward the season of election time. And, of course, we'll be electing a new president and that sort of thing. And so all the election process coming in. And listen, conflict of interest is quite evident in politics today. Anybody getting brochures in the mail besides me about who to vote for? Have you noticed that they're never exactly the same? Did you notice that each politician has a different interest than the other one? There's a conflict going on there. There's a conflict of interest. It's evident in the sports world today. We're right in the middle of the Olympics. The Olympics started just a few days ago. You don't think there's a conflict of interest between countries? You know what everybody's after? Gold. Will everybody get gold? No. But there's a conflict going on, isn't there? because they want the gold medal or the silver medal or the bronze medal. Hey, there's a conflict of interest that's very evident in the business world today. We were on vacation not too long ago, went to a small town. And it's a tourist town, and they've got different shops there. And we pass one shop, and it says that best fudge in town. So I thought, man, live, they must have something going on there. Best fudge in town. Anybody like fudge? Come on, be truthful now. Everybody like fudge? That's what I thought. Got a bunch of truthful ones, and a bunch of people ain't telling the truth. So it said best fudge in town. So I looked at that and I thought, boy, I need to make a note of that. We need to go get some fudge there. I went down about two blocks later and looked over here, and there's another place over here that said they had the best fudge in town. And then I went down a little bit further and they had the best fudge in town. World's best fudge. Now, you think there might be a conflict of interest in who thinks got the best fudge? You see, what I'm saying to you, it's evident all around us today. You see, it's evident in a garage sale. Anybody ever had a garage sale? And you go out there, something you paid $25 for, you've already put a quarter on it, and somebody wants to chew you down. And I'm like, wait a minute, man, I paid $25 for this, I'm marking a quarter, and you want me to give it to you for a dime? No. I'm not coming up. Well, honey, we need to sell this. I'm not giving. Now, every man in here ought to be amening right there, because you've been there when your wife has had a garage sale and you've been out there looking at all those things that you paid $15, $20 for and she's got a nickel on. By the way, you told her to clear the garage, didn't you? Listen, guys. Didn't you say, get rid of this junk? She's getting rid of it. That's the reason my wife has a garage sale. I don't hang around. I go away and just, honey, whatever happens, happens. But there's a conflict of interest. You see, it's evident here today in this room. You got people that, I watched you because I saw some of the cars, some of you drove up in a Ford. Some of you drove up in a Chevy. Some of you didn't drive up anything, you just walked to church. But there's a conflict of interest. People have different tastes in that area. Listen, it's evident in everything. Hey, listen, glory to God. Hunting season is right around the corner. I've already got my brochures in. Amen. Amen, Brother McCall. I can hear it going off right now in my ear. Hey, it's coming. And listen, you know that there's a conflict of interest when I climb up in my deer stand between me and that deer? Total conflict. He's trying to stay alive. I'm trying to put him in my freezer. And listen, if you've never been deer hunting and hunted out in the wild, not over a feeder, and try to outsmart a deer, there is a huge conflict going on. Now, what I'm saying to you today is there's conflict of interest all around us. And usually in a conflict of interest, one party is motivated by their preference in opposition to the desires of someone else. You see, in some cases of conflict of interest, both parties are right. So they just have to agree to disagree. You ever had to do that? It's what you believed and what they... It wasn't wrong, but you just agreed to disagree. But sometimes in a conflict of interest, both parties are wrong, and they refuse to resolve the difference. They're both wrong about what they're doing and how they're approaching it, but they refuse to resolve it. And then in some conflicts of interest, one party's right and the other party's wrong, but here's the difference. They choose to reach a resolution based on what's right. Now, think about this. However, when we have a conflict of interest that occurs between us and God, listen carefully, God is always right and you're always wrong. God is always right and you and I are always wrong. So then the choice becomes this morning, church. The choice then becomes mine to reach a resolution with God based on the truth. That means if I'm going to resolve this conflict of interest, then I'm going to have to come to Him and resolve it on truth. Now, here's what I want you to do this morning. Go back to our text, verses, and I want to point out three conflicts of interest this morning that I want to address as in the message. First of all, I want you to look in verse number 13 and 14. Did you notice it says, "And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." Now, here's conflict number one, and that's the conflict between men. Here we have a conflict between two people. Now, the situation was here, and the Jewish custom was, is that in the giving of the inheritance, the eldest son always got a double portion. And so what happened was, here's what it seems to be, is this younger brother says, Lord, Master, would you tell my other brother, I'm a little short, I may have wasted my inheritance, would you tell my other brother to share his with me? Would you tell my older brother to give me some of his inheritance? I don't know what the situation and what is surrounding this. The scripture doesn't tell me or tell us, but I know this, that there's a conflict going on here. This brother says, I want some of my older brother's inheritance. So there's a conflict between men. Now let me stop and say this right here. This type of conflict of interest is unavoidable. Let me say that again. Look around, folks. Conflict between people is unavoidable because we're different. We have different temperaments. We have different preferences. We have different tastes. We have different things that we like. Hey, listen, if I opened up the debate on a Ford and a Chevy this morning, we'd have a difference of opinion here. We'd have conflict of interests. Now, I'm not going to give you my opinion because I drive a Tundra. So what I'm saying is that a conflict of interest between people is unavoidable. Now, here's, I want you to notice how this man approached this conflict. The first thing, did you notice here? I want you to follow with me now. He approached the master and said, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And listen, here's the thing I want you to get out of this. He wanted God to resolve the conflict he created. I said he wanted God to resolve the conflict, but he's the one that created the conflict. You see, he could have just gone in life and decided, you know what? Hey, listen, I got my inheritance. What's mine is mine. My older brother got a double portion. That's his. If he chooses to give some to me, glory. If he doesn't, that's just the way it is. But he caused a conflict, listen, and he wanted Jesus to resolve the conflict he created. Now, I want you to think with me about something. God does not play big brother for anybody. God's not going to bully someone or others on your behalf so that we can get our way. Now listen, sometimes what happens, we go to prayer. Lord, would you address Brother Leslie? And would you tell him that I have a need and he needs to give me some of what he has? And if he doesn't, rot his teeth out. If he doesn't, make him go bald. If he doesn't, let him go out and have a flat tire on his truck. And listen, we laugh at that, but you know, in essence, a lot of people pray that way. Because here's what we want to do. We want God to resolve the conflict that we initiated. Now, listen to me. I want you to notice how Jesus answered him. He went to the Lord and said, listen, I've created a conflict, and I want you to resolve it. I want you to get involved, Lord. Now listen, look at verse 14. And he, Jesus, said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? Now listen carefully, this is important. Don't miss it. God is not obligated to you and me to resolve all of my personal conflicts of interest just because I'm a Christian. Now listen, folks, a lot of times we get ourselves in situations and we expect God to get us out, and He's not. Did you see what he answered this guy? He said, who made me judge or divider over you? He said, this is not a conflict between me and you, sir. This is a conflict between you and your brother. Now listen, God wants us to orchestrate a plan of resolution. Jesus responded in this verse. He says, I'm not going to be a judge or divider. In other words, he said, I'm not getting involved. Now listen very carefully. He said, well, why wouldn't he get involved? Why wouldn't the Lord do something? That older brother had a double portion, and this old boy may not have had any. And why wouldn't the Lord get involved and give that guy some of his inheritance? Well, first of all, God wants us to orchestrate the plan of resolution. In other words, you know what? If we have conflict between one another, God wants us to resolve it between us from Scripture. Why does he need to get involved? He's already written the plan. He's already written how you're to resolve conflict between each other. If there's a conflict of interest between two people, God's already written down. Why does he need to get involved? See, the thing about it is what we want to do, we want to bypass his word, and we want him to do something contrary to his word. so that we can get our way. God's not going to play big brother to anybody. He's not obligated to resolve my personal conflicts of interest just because I'm a Christian. You see, we're to seek the biblical path of resolution. Listen, if you have aught against a brother, what does the Scripture tell you to do? If you come to the altar, you're to leave your offering here, and what are you to do? You're to go make it right. Now listen, he says, when you come to the altar, you've got aught against your brother. Don't pray to me and ask me to resolve everything when the conflict is between you and him. He said, I've already laid down the pattern of what you're supposed to do. See, the thing about it is, folks, God is not going to change his word for anybody. And we pray, listen, in other words, we pray a lot of times in ignorance. We're praying in ignorance, asking God to supersede his word. He's not going to do it. He's not going to violate the word. That's what he's telling this guy. He said, I'm not going to be judge or divider over this. You know what he was saying? He said, you know what the law says? You know what it reads? The conflict's between you and your brother. It's up to you to make sure that you take care of that conflict of interest. We're to seek a biblical path of restoration. Listen, we're to seek the best interest of the Lord. In other words, whatever the resolution is, we ought to resolve it so that God gets the glory and praise out of it. So that me and Big Brother can walk away, shake hands and say, okay, this is what we're going to do. And if you choose not to do that, then that's fine with me. And then we're to seek the proper time and place for resolution. Can I stop here and say this for just a moment? Do you know that we're in the house of God? This is a place of worship, folks. Listen now, this is not the place of resolution between you and another brother. The hallway is not a place of resolution. In front of people is not a place of resolution. You need to make sure that you have a time and a place where the resolution takes place, not in front of everybody else. Man, listen, folks, I don't know why that so many want to lay their dirty laundry out and for everybody to see. I don't. Listen, we're to seek the proper time and place for resolution. God will not involve himself in a conflict of interest in which he has given clear instruction in Scripture of how to resolve that conflict of interest. Now, let me say this, and I'm going to move on. That's the reason, folks, that sometimes you get down here and you pray, Lord, Lord, you say, and you come to me and say, preacher, I just don't understand. God will not answer me. Well, the thing about it is he may have already answered in his word. You see, the answer, and see, we're praying and want him to intervene when he said, you got conflict between a brother or sister? Here it is. I've already given it. I don't need to intercede. I have already given the answer. Folks, that's what happened in this case. This guy says, Master, listen. Boy, I've seen you do some great things. My brother, snob, twice the inheritance. Make him give me part of his. Listen, I don't know if he expected the Lord to do it for him or not, but Jesus came back with the answer and said, I'm not judge or divider over this. And then he goes on further. And that leads us to our second conflict of interest. The first conflict of interest was between men. The second conflict of interest is over possessions. Then he goes on to say in verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of what, church? Beware of covetousness. That's wanting something that someone else has for your own benefit. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he starts with a parable. And he says, the ground of a certain man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Anybody see a problem here? What's the conflict? The conflict is possessions now. You see, the first conflict that came up was the conflict between people. Jesus was asked to intervene and makes one party concede to the other. And what did the Lord say? Nope. Not getting involved. Because I've already given you. You know what the law says. You know what the Bible says. He said, I'm not going to get involved. But now we have a conflict of possessions. The first thing that I see here as far as conflict is between things and life. Did you notice when he gave the parable, the conflict was between the man's possession and his soul? Between things and life. You see, things find their root. Jesus made it very clear. Things find their root in covetousness. I found out a lot of times in my life that when I have, you know what that produces? It produces me wanting to have more. And then once I get more, you know what? It produces me wanting more. Here's a perfect illustration. I love to hunt and fish, and I was fishing the other day, and I knew I had to leave at a certain time. And so, you know, they never start hitting until 10 minutes before you got to leave. It's kind of like duck hunting, Brother McCall. It's like they never show up until, man, love, I got to go. You know, and about that time, rah, rah, I mean, they all come over and you're like, man. And here's what we think. We think, man, alive, I've only got just a short time. I've only got just a short time to take care of this. And so what I'm saying to you is things find their root in covetousness. And so I'm sitting there fishing and they're starting to hit. Man, I'm starting to pull them out. And I'm looking at my watch and I'm like, oh, man, it's time to go. But one more, just one more. And I'll pull them off and say, man, this is the biggest one I've caught all day. So I'll throw them in. I got one more, Lord. One more. And I'll pull them out. And pretty soon I'm 30 minutes behind. Now, I found out that most people, particularly if you've got an appointment, they don't understand that you're late for your appointment because you were fishing. They normally don't understand that you're late for your job because you were fishing. You see, things, the choice, the conflict was things or life. Things seem to find their root in covetousness, wanting more. Give me more. I want more fish. I want more. But then things generate the desire for more things. I caught one fish, I wanted two. I caught two, I wanted four. I caught four, well, I can't count that high. So, but you understand, I wanted more. The more I got, the more I wanted. And that's exactly the attitude of this man. In the parable, it was a conflict between things and life. Listen, things tend to develop an attitude of superiority. Did you notice what he said there? Did you notice he said in there, I'll tear my barns down and build greater barns? I'll build bigger barns? Listen, it seems to be that things develop an attitude of superiority. Now, you know what this guy's problem was? You know what the conflict was? He was putting his hope in material, temporal things. He thought that was what was going to bring happiness. He thought that was what was going to bring joy. He thought that was what's going to bring attention and security, only to find out it was those things that damned him to hell. Because that's what he put his faith in. That's what he put his trust in. You see, things tend to develop the attitude of superiority. And I want to just stop here. Can I just say this? I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, God has blessed many, many of us. But let me tell you something. I don't care what we have or what kind of car or house or how much money we got in the bank account. When I go to a restaurant, I don't deserve to be treated any differently than anybody else in there. And by the way, I'm not going to treat the waitress any different either. And I see that, folks. And let me tell you something. It's all I can do to keep my seat and not say anything. But here's a conflict of possession. Things are life. It was things rooted in covetousness. More people that have things tend to want more things. And then it tends to develop an attitude of superiority. But here's what life is. Life consists of faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse number 24, talks about those who inherit eternal life have passed from death unto life. That means in sin I was once dead, but now I am alive. 1 John 5, 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, here it is, hath not life. So what is life? It's Jesus. It's salvation. It's faith and trust in Christ. Let me tell you something, my friend. I've done many funerals in my ministry. Not one person that I've ever buried ever took anything with them. Matter of fact, if you're a believer today, the only thing you're taking out of this life is what you've done for Christ and the souls that you've won for Christ. That's all you're taking out. Did you notice in the story here that Jesus said, after you're gone, then who shall these things be? He said, they're not going with you, partner. He says, you know what? You're checking out and all of these things are staying behind. You see, life consists of life in faith in Jesus. It consists of eternity with Jesus Christ, while temporal things supply no security whatsoever. And yet people hold on to things, thinking that that's going to be their security. You see, life consists of access to the throne of God. It consists of guidance by the Holy Spirit. All of these things, that's life, not things that we possess. And Jesus made that very, very clear. Why? Because there was a conflict going on here between things and life. Listen to what else there was. There was a conflict going on between me and others. Did you notice in the text right here how many times the word I and my are used? Did you notice he didn't say, you know what? God has blessed me. I'm going to share my blessings with all the people in town. No, no, no. He said, I and my. There was a conflict between me and others. Philippians 2:4 says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Luke 14:33, Jesus talks about being a disciple there. He said, if you forsake not father, mother, brother, sister, yea, and your own life also, He said, you cannot be my disciple. You see, there was a conflict going on here, not just of things and life, but between me, this man, and others. Folks, I'll just be honest with you. I'm 51 years old, and we may live in the most selfish society in my entire lifetime. We live in a day and time to where men don't open the door for ladies anymore. I witnessed that this week. I've tried to open the door for a lady coming by, open the door, said, ma'am, you go ahead. No, you go ahead. No, ma'am, go ahead, go ahead. Okay. But we live in a very selfish society today. You see, the conflict of interest between keeping or giving will always rage in our heart. And again, that's the reason, folks, that some of us, we squeeze old Abe so tight his eyeballs bug out. You know why? Because we think that money right there is our security. And when Jesus says, no, 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 let it go. He said, give it to me and I'll multiply it over and over and over again. You have not because you ask not, because the reason is most of us ask it amiss. Now, there's a conflict between things in life, me and others. And look down, if you would, in verse 19. He said, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Here's another conflict here. The conflict of possessions. Things and life. Me and others. Listen now. Work and play. There's a conflict going on here. Should I work or should I play? Those of you that are in places of authority and leadership on your job, and you hire people, have you ever noticed many times the mentality of entitlement that exists? It's like, why should I work for 8 hours of pay? Why can't I work 4 hours and play 4 hours? Now listen, here's what they see. Because I was in management in the secular world years ago. Here's what they see. They see you sitting behind a desk, they don't think you're doing anything. In an air-conditioned office, and they're thinking that you're playing, that you're not doing anything, while they're outside working hard and sweating and are getting all scratched up, and they're thinking, wait a minute, you know what? You're not doing anything. Why should I do anything? They don't realize the 25 years that you put in where they were before you got to the desk? You see, what they want to do is they want to get hired on, and they want to get hired on at the desk first. And then maybe the last 6 weeks of their life, then they might go out and work outside. See, there's a conflict going on, work or play. Can I say this to you? When Jesus saves a soul, He saves us to serve, not to sit. We're not here to play, folks. We're here to serve. And yet, masses, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for a church where they can go and play. This is not what we're here for, folks. We're not here to play. You say, do you like to play? Yeah, I like to play. But this is not the time. This is not the time to play. This is a time of worship. There's a time for everything under the sun. You see, we're saved to serve, not to sit. We're saved to sacrifice, not to stow away. Now listen, let me stop and say something. I'm not against stowing away. I think you ought to be wise and store up in a time of plenty for the time of famine. That's what we try to practice here at our church. But we need to, listen, when God saved us, He saved us to sacrifice, not to stow away. And then number three, He saved us to send, not to stay. He saved us to send workers and send people out into the highways and edges, compelling them to come in. And because of this, man's conflict of interest and his decisions have led him down a path that have led him, listen carefully now, to the problem, and his choices have led him to the ultimate conflict of interest. So far we've looked at a conflict between two people. Then we've looked at a conflict of possessions, but now all of this has led to the main conflict. Look in verse 20, but God. And now we have a conflict between God and man. Now we have the conflict between God and man. You see, the key indicator here that conflict was present is found in that verse when it says, but God. Uh-oh, things are about to change. Things are about to move in a totally different direction. So let's follow this out for just a second and look at it. First of all, did you notice that God addresses man and man doesn't address God? Did you notice it was God who addressed the man? Did you notice this guy didn't say, soul, hang on just a minute, let me talk to the Father just a minute. He didn't go back and talk to God. You know who he talked to first? Himself. He taught, why? Because that was his interest. He was looking out for number one. But God addresses man. Man does not address God. Usually when man is satisfied and comfortable and his joy is in the reliance of his possession, he sees no need of God. So therefore he doesn't address God at all. That's the reason this man didn't. Why? Because his ground brought forth plenty. You see, it reveals this man's absence of faith in God. And ultimately, man is going to answer to God, and God's going to address him about the direction that he chose. For a believer, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 calls it the judgment seat of Christ. For one who dies without God, the Scripture describes that in Revelation chapter 20 called the great white throne judgment. But everyone's going to stand before God and give an account of what we've done in this body. You see, God addressed man, and man did not address God. That's the reason, folks. God sent some of you here this morning. Why? Because He wanted you to hear the message. Because the thing about it is, many of you were not seeking Him, but He's always been seeking you. That's the reason somebody gave you a track or an invitation or a phone call, or God just moved in your heart to come this morning. Because God's trying to address you about a matter in your life. You see, God's response to this man's choices was, did you notice? He said, thou fool. He said, you've made the wrong choice. You've put your interest, you put everything in one area. He said, you chose the temporal over the eternal. He said, you've devalued heavenly reward for earthly gain. Now, folks, listen. The Scripture says that we're not to lay up treasures on earth where moth doth corrupt, rust doth corrupt, moths eat up, and thieves break through and steal. We're to lay up treasures in heaven. Why? Because I'm looking toward eternity, not earthly things. You see, God responds to this man's choice. He said, thou fool, you've devalued earthly or heavenly things for earthly gain. And then the problem is, he addressed him and said, you've waited too late now. He says, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. This night shall thy soul, or thy soul shall be required of thee. You waited too late. You see, this man's eternal soul was now required. And God had no need of his abundant possessions. He died. God already owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He didn't need this guy's stuff. You see, the conflict of interest now was over what this man thought security was and what God thought security was. And what God laid out as security. God says security is in Jesus. He said many think security is in things. And when they die, remember, if there's a conflict of interest, God is always right and you're always wrong. Unfortunately, too many are going to find out too late that God was right. You see, riches on earth for this man equated to the poverty of his soul and separation from God, not for this long, for that long. You ever had kids say, I love you this much? And then you say, no, I love you this much. They say, no, I love you this much. And then it just goes on and on. Pretty soon you're like about to throw your shoulders out of joint. You see, that's the reason when they laid Jesus down on the cross, if somebody would say, Jesus, how much do you love me? He said, this much. This much. Enough to give my life for you. Did you notice that last verse? And I'll finish up with this. He said, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not. Did you notice this last statement, rich toward God? How do you become rich? Anybody want to be rich? Yes, yes. I want riches. Well, the scripture says if you're going to be rich, you need to be rich toward God. How does that happen? Well, first of all, it starts with salvation. Listen, what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Nothing. So prosperity starts with salvation. If you're going to be rich toward God, first of all, you got to know Jesus. You have to come this morning and put your faith in Him. Then it continues with obedience to His Word. Then it matures with surrender and submission to God's will. Because ultimately one day it's going to be revealed before God. And it's all going to be laid out. And it's going to be revealed what we did for the Lord. Let me conclude and say this. Some here have a conflict of interest with some other person. And you've prayed, Lord, take care of that person. And that's the reason you've not seen the answer to your prayer, because God said, I'm not going to do that. I've already told you how to take care of a conflict between two people. Some here this morning may have a conflict. Maybe it's pulling at you. Maybe your possessions are pulling at you. Maybe while you're sitting here this morning, you can hear the old bass boat motor cranking up. You can hear all of these things. It's calling. You can hear the fish calling. They're calling you. Maybe you've got a conflict of interest with possessions or a lifestyle because you've been in your comfort zone. Maybe there's some here that have a major conflict of interest with God and you just need Jesus. Can I say this morning? Resolve your conflict, whether it's with men, possessions, or with God. And I'm going to make an appeal. Whatever category you fall into this morning, God sent you here this morning to resolve that conflict of interest with Him. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many would be honest before God this morning? We're in church and say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I've had a born-again experience with Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a soldier of the cross. I'm a born-again believer, not ashamed of it. And you'd slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, that's me. I want to see who who the congregation is this morning. As I look over the congregation, just slip it up high and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Almost without exception, every hand was raised, but there were one or two that could not raise their hand. I wonder, out of those few that could not raise their hand this morning, I wonder how many would let me pray for you. And you'd say, preacher, I'm not saved, and no one's ever taken the Bible and showed me how to be born again according to the Scriptures. And I've got a conflict of interest as far as salvation is concerned. How many of you that did not raise your hand say, preacher, would you pray for me? It's not that I don't want to go to heaven, I do. It's just that I've struggled with that. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. And you would be honest before God and say, preacher, that's me. And you'd let me pray for you. Nobody's looking but me. Would you show me that by slipping your hand up? Say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. But I want to go. It's not that I don't want to go. I do want to go. It's just that I don't know. God bless you. Who will join these two and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. And you just slip your hand and say, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless you. You can slip your hands down. Anybody will join these three and say, preacher, that's me. That's me. I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. Pray for me. God bless you. You can put your hand down. There's four. Who will join these four? Come on now. There were more than that. Just slip it up. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you this morning. God sent you here to settle that conflict of interest. God bless you. There's number five. Who will join these five and say, preacher, that's me. Don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. Pray for me. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you. All right. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Please pray for me. I want you to slip your hand up. You say, I'm a Christian, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Just slip your hand way up high. Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right, God bless you. About three or four there, you can put your hands down. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I need to be baptized. Never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. All right? Then one last thing. I wonder if there might be some here today that say, preacher, I do have a conflict of interest. I'm not going to ask you whether it's with man, possessions, or with God. But you'd say, preacher, I do have a conflict of interest going on in my life right now. Please pray for me. This must be resolved. Nobody's looking but me, and you'd be willing to slip your hand up. Let me pray for you. I want you to slip your hand way up high. You say, I've got a conflict of interest, whether it be with men, possessions, or God. Just slip it up, 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 slip it up. All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my simple prayer is this morning, please, that you would work this invitation in such a way that those who have slipped their hand up this morning would turn to Jesus and turn to you for the answers, for the source of their conflict of interest. Now, Father, if it's with men, you've already given us the Word of God of how to resolve a conflict of interest with other people. If it's with possessions, you've also given us in the Scriptures how to deal with that. But, Father, I pray if it's a conflict of interest between man, anyone here, and you over an issue, that today would be the day that they would come and confess it and make it right. For some, it could be salvation. Some, it could be restoration. Some, it could be just a difference, Lord, that they've struggled with in their life. Whatever the case may be, that today would be the day that you would flood their soul with conviction and draw them, Lord, like a magnet to the altar. Please have your will and way in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. As we stand, I'm going to ask the instrument to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. If you slipped your hand up and I prayed for you, would you come? Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. Whether you boy, girl, teenager, adult man, adult lady, come on. Listen, we have people that will pray with you. If I prayed for you, you come. You come. This is your opportunity. Let God do something in your heart. Whatever your conflict of interest is, you come on. Whether it's possessions, whether it's people, or whether it's a conflict between you and God, you come on. You come on this morning. Hey, we want to help you. We want to help you. God wants to do something in your heart and your life this morning. Hey, don't let your conflict of interest be something that hinders the work of God. Don't let your conflict of interest be something to hinder your prayer life. Come on. Come on, this is your opportunity. Many have already come. Hey, we'll wait on you. We'll wait on you. For some, it may be a conflict of interest in your home. For some, it may be on your job with your boss. For some, it may be with another brother and sister in Christ. Some of you may be struggling over things. Would you come? Hey, God wants to do a